welcome to the Girl Unlimited podcast, the podcast and platform dedicated to seeing you break barriers and overcome limitations, whether those limitations are self-imposed, society-imposed, or culture-imposed. We are dedicated to seeing you overcome all kinds of limitations to create the life of your dreams. Someone once asked me what a life of your dreams means. And to me, I think it's different for different people. Okay, it's different for everyone. For one, it could be just being able to make ends meet every month. Though, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, then you know I believe we have unlimited potential. But if that's where you are right now, then that's where you start. For someone else, it could be finding the boldness to finally turn in their resignation from that soul-sucking job they have been working at for the last 15 years and deciding to travel the world and become a digital nomad. For me personally, it is living a life of purpose and having more financial resources than I could ever need so I can distribute it as far and wide as I can or as I want to, making a difference in the lives around me, and most importantly, well, not maybe not most important, but definitely not the least important, leaving a legacy, one that my children and coming generations can be proud of. That's what gets me out of bed every day, and that's why I record this podcast. And speaking of podcast, there's something in the air. I don't know what it is, but I'm really, really excited about today's episode. Maybe it's because we are on episode 35. What? Even saying that just literally blows my mind, honestly. But I'm not even going to dwell on that. You guys know how I feel about just being able to show up every other week and just hosting this podcast. Okay. Or maybe it's just the topic I'm going to be sharing today. Because it is something that everyone experiences, and perhaps someone who is listening today could benefit from some of the tips I'll be sharing today. Or maybe it's just because it's summer. Having said that, I'm actually not a summer person because it's way too hot for me, especially right now that we are literally baking in the sun in my neck of the woods, that is. And I know, I even can't believe that a girl like me who grew up in the tropics can even say that, but it's the truth. Summer for me over the years has come to mean heat and hay fever. These are two things that I'm disliking more and more as the years go by. I wouldn't even lie to you, right? Spring is by far my favorite season, followed by autumn, but there's just something about, I don't know, letting loose, letting your hair down, the party vibe that comes with summer. And I don't know, it just makes you want to dance and make merry, I guess. Though in my case, it will definitely be dancing with my hair pinned up and not down. And if you are a girl with long, thick locks like me, or just thick, long hair, then you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Another reason why I'm not a big fan of summer. Not complaining, though. Every season, I believe, is beautiful. And yes, we might have one preference over the other, but every season comes and it goes and it rolls back round again. So we appreciate every season that we get. Well, enough of all this talk about weather and hair. Today, I'd like to talk about how to deal with discouragement. As I said, everyone experiences it at some point in their lives, even more so if you're looking to create the life of your dreams. And trust me on this, learning to deal with discouragement well is essential to your future success. We'll also be looking at disappointment briefly because people tend to use both terms interchangeably. And while they can be connected, they are certainly not the same. So, you ready for this? Let's get on with it then. My name is T.R.E. and you are listening to the Girl Unlimited podcast.
On the road to go, my life is beginning.
So I was listening to the Capitalist.com podcast hosted by Ryan Daniel Moran. It's a fantastic podcast if you want to learn how to build a product-based business that you could exit from eventually. And he had this dude on the show called Jeff Lerner. I've never heard of him, but he had this incredible story of seemingly coming from nowhere and building this business that went from literally $0 to $50 million in a matter of about 3 years. That sounds incredible. I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds almost unbelievable. But as you would imagine, Jeff Lerner didn't exactly come from nowhere. In fact, according to him, he came from nowhere after 25 years and 11 failed businesses. And at one time, he was actually just a broke jazz pianist. But since then, he has seen some success in business that eventually led him to this new business that had turned over this millions of pounds. But I tell this story to highlight the 11 failed businesses he had. Having had a few failed businesses myself, I sort of believe I know how that feels like. I reckon the disappointments must have been monumental, but he didn't allow himself to become discouraged, at least not for a long enough period to quit. How do I know? Well, he's still in the game after 25 years, right? Therein lies the main difference between disappointment and discouragement. Like I said earlier, they're not exactly the same things. Disappointments are usually momentary feelings of sadness caused by your hope or expectations not being met. While discouragement, on the other hand, though could be momentary, it has more to do with a state of being. And the word courage is derived from the word core, which means heart. At least I know that's what it means in French. So you could easily interpret the word discouragement to be losing heart. So discouragement, losing heart, or being disconnected from the heart, or being disheartened, or lacking heart or courage, usually as a result of experiencing disappointments and other things that we'll talk about later. When you're discouraged, you feel helpless and defeated, and it can be a very dangerous place unless you fight to overcome it. I don't believe you can stop feeling disappointed from time to time. It's life. Stuff happens. There are things with the best of intentions that will be outside the remit of our control, and our hopes from time to time will be dashed. My family and I love to watch the TV show Dragon's Den, which is equivalent to Shark Tank in the US. The entrepreneurs I feel the sorriest for are those who not only don't get the investment that we're hoping for, but are told that they really don't have a business or that they have to go back to the drawing board. Talk of hope being dashed. Hopefully for most of them, the momentary disappointment doesn't make them give up. If it does, it is because somewhere along the line, they got discouraged, or that was just a tipping point to get them to the state of discouragement. Discouragement tends to rear its ugly head when we allow disappointments fester and fester and fester. And in my experience, getting rid of discouragement is a much bigger fish to fry than disappointment. So this is one of the reasons I thought it was necessary to share a topic like this, because I believe that it can be a very, very dark place. You feel stuck and depressed. And if care isn't taken, discouragement could derail you from fulfilling purpose and creating that life of your dreams. And that's not what we want, right? So what have we been able to establish so far? Disappointment is not the same as discouragement, but it could be a trigger. So here's what we're going to do. Let's quickly identify some of those triggers, disappointment obviously being one of them, and then what we can do to counter or avoid those triggers so we can avoid discouragement in the long run. And then we'll look at how to wade out of the discouragement pool if you have been swimming in it for a little while. Okay, so triggers. Well, we've already talked about the most common one, which is disappointment. We feel disappointed when our expectation hasn't been met. But how do you stop disappointments from spiraling out of control into discouragement? My advice is not to dwell on the disappointment. I know it is easier said than done, but hear me out on this. try and remember that it is a part of normal day-to-day living. We have ebbs and flow, mountains and valleys, up and down. That's just the way life goes. We can hope for things to always go smooth, but in truth, they hardly ever do. So it only makes sense that we consider what we will do if things don't go the way we hope that they will go. Even if you don't have a plan B and you're all in on your plan A, just giving the possibility that things might not go according to plan, just a little thought, kind of prepares you for it anyway, at least mentally. Okay, so another trigger is what I'm calling comparisonitis. No, I didn't make up the word, and apparently it's not a real word. But comparisonitis is really comparing yourself with other people or their progress or their success and stuff like that. This is where, as you know, social media can be extremely dangerous. Gone are the days when all we compared with were our neighbors' lawns. Now, with just a click, you are bombarded with other people's seemingly perfect lives and perfect bodies and perfect relationships and perfect lifestyle. And it can be tough. It's just like what Theodore Roosevelt said, or at least is accredited to say, comparison is the thief of joy. And we all know the story of how people spiral into depression or even suicidal thoughts as a result of what they see online. So what do you do to avoid this trigger, aside the obvious spending as little time around the source of the trigger? That's good, and there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that's just temporary. And if you're building, say, an online business, yes, you can probably delegate some of it or systemize some of it, but you can't completely avoid social media. So for that reason, I feel a more permanent solution is this. When you play the comparison game, you are pretty much focused on your lowlights. What, I'm sure you've heard that word, lowlights, which is supposed to be some sort of opposite of highlights. So you're pretty much focused on your lowlights, or things that you feel are lacking in your life, and you're using that as the comparison yardstick to other people's highlights. So what if you shift your focus from those areas you feel you're lacking to the areas that you're not? And trust me, everybody has several personal highlights, several things that they are not lacking in. So take this for example. I grew up in an era in Nigeria where colorism was the order of the day. It still is to a very large extent, but not as much as it used to be, I think, anyway. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm referring to discrimination by skin color. I've always had darker brown skin, and growing up, I always compared myself with my light-skinned mates, whether those were my, because half my siblings were light-skinned and some of my cousins were light-skinned, and I had friends that were light-skinned, and I kind of didn't have a choice because those comparisons were made for me anyway, and they were constantly done. And I grew up feeling a lot less attractive than my light-skinned counterparts. But as I grew older, I learned to fight those negative feelings of low self-esteem by focusing on what was actually great about my skin color. And as a result, I started learning how to appreciate it. So things like, it hides a multitude of blemish sins. You have no idea. Plus, I've never had to spend a fortune on creams and things like that. And I can't even tell you how much of a relief that is. Like right now, I'm experiencing an allergic reaction that has affected my lips. If I was lighter skinned, it probably will show as red and angry. And I probably feel a little embarrassed, especially when I go out in public. But as it stands, because I am darker, you can't see what is going on in my skin. And I'm going about my normal business. Cool, right? And just as an aside, I hope this little bit helps other darker skinned girls like me who might be listening to this episode right now. Remember that it's all about perception. Your skin, my lovely sis, is Nubian perfection. Don't let anyone tell you any different. Okay, back to our discouragement triggers. I'll just name one more, and it's kind of on the next level from the feeling of disappointment and comparison. And it is negative self-talk. Sometimes we don't even know when it starts. It's just this thing that just like buzzes at the back of our heads, and it's like a drone sound that just keeps constantly talking. Mine used to be so terrible, and there seemed to be one for every season I got myself in. For instance, when I was 18, I was too young. Now I'm in my 40s, I'm hearing that I'm too old or I'm getting old. These days, with some self-awareness work under my belt, I'm learning to catch the signs quicker and quicker. And what to do to combat those thoughts is really not a secret. I've shared it on this podcast time and time again. Fight negative thoughts with positive words. That, for me, is the most effective. But you can also decide to change those thoughts into more positive thoughts. I hardly quote Bible verses in my podcast, but this is one occasion that calls for it because it is so apt. So in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it is one of my favorite scriptures of all time. It says, "Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse." Isn't that such great advice? These are the things that we should be filling our minds and meditating on instead of meditating on the negative self-talk. Now, because I'm conscious of the length of the episode, I haven't touched on other triggers, but I believe that what I've shared so far is probably the most common triggers that plagues most people that I know, definitely has plagued me. So now let's look at what you do when you are already swimming in the sea of discouragement. But I want to first say this. I see you, my friend. I feel you. Life can be so hard, and no doubt, when things don't go the way you expect, it can make it that tad bit harder. And sometimes it feels like there's no way out of it. And I know this dark, murky swamp all too well. But please, please, please don't despair. And don't you dare give up. You've been given everything you need to fulfill your purpose here on earth. You just need to figure it out. And like Marie Forleo says, everything is figure outable. Discouragement is simply a distraction or a deviation, and you need to fight tooth and nail to make sure it does not do that. Make sure it does not cause you to stop. Okay? Okay. So here are some of the ways I personally have used to overcome discouragement. First off, be honest. Identify it, acknowledge it, discover what led to it so you'll be able to deal with it. Denial just means you end up going round and round in circles instead of facing the issue head on. And how does that help us? I know the danger of doing this is sometimes putting up a tent in your feelings, and that now becomes the impediment to moving forward because you are trying to analyze and dissect what could have caused this or what could have made you get discouraged. But I want you to try and focus on the fact that this is simply for exploratory purposes. And it is so you recognize that particular trigger and avoid it in future. If I were you, I would journal these things down, even if it's on sheets of paper that you can throw away later. Bottom line, get to the bottom of why you found yourself here. Number two, ramp up the gratitude, man. Write down everything you're grateful for. I started with three things I was grateful for, but when I experienced one particular nasty discouragement spell, I ramped it up to 10. And I thought I was doing amazing until I heard Steve Harvey say he wrote down 75 things he was grateful for daily. Whoa! That is a different level right there. The idea here is the fact that when you focus on gratitude, it evokes joy. And guess what? Joy and discouragement cannot coexist in the same mind. When you feel discouragement, it is usually because you are focusing on all those things not working and all those things that you are lacking. But when you practice gratitude, you are changing perspective and you are being mindful of the things that are working and the things that are not lacking. And you can't do both at the same time. That's the amazing thing about it. So that's my number two tip. Ramp up the gratitude. The deeper the discouragement, the more gratitude you want to practice. That's how it works. My number three point is a little similar to the gratitude point in that it involves focus. So while you turn your attention on what's worked and is working at present, I want you to keep a vivid picture in your mind's eye on your destination. And maybe even go a step further and look for something tangible that reminds you of this goal. Something you cannot ignore. Vision boards work well for some. Others prefer to keep reminders on their bathroom mirror. Others, it is a picture on their phone home screen, like me. Speaking of tangible reminders, do the same for your mantras. Write it, paste it somewhere, and say it over and over again every single day. You could even do what I did and record yourself saying it and then listen to that over and over again. The idea of doing this is to reprogram your mind to wholeheartedly believe in something that is yet to occur. And when you successfully are able to do that, it is very difficult, I tell you, to feel discouragement at the same time. After all, how can you feel discouragement about a thing when you already have it, right? Okay, my final point or tip or secret, it's not really a secret, is not for everybody, but I include it here because I personally went down this route for myself, and that is therapy. For me, I recognized I needed more help beyond what I was doing to help myself. And the truth is, all the elements I've mentioned so far, the meditation, the visualization, and all that have worked together to set me on the path that I am on right now, which is a much better path than I used to be. For the right person, I believe therapy can seriously be a game changer. And I am particularly excited about the fact that the world is changing so much and more people are now able to access therapy online, especially if you are not in the place where you feel comfortable going out to see a therapist. Plus, we no longer are limited by distance, so you can literally take your pick on the numerous databases of therapists out there. You can be here in England and the therapist you pick is somewhere in America or somewhere in Switzerland. And that, I believe, is a positive, positive thing. And that's all I wanted to share with you today, folks. Before I leave, I wanted to leave you with this short and sweet quote I found hilarious while I believe it rings true. And it is by Lynn Abbey, and it simply says, "I am dense when it comes to discouragement." I read that to mean she is completely oblivious to discouragement. This, my friends, is probably the only time I will encourage you to be dense. And until next time, remember, you are a unique, wonderfully made person with a God-given purpose and unlimited potential. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
That nothing will become of me, that I'll never come to anything, but you couldn't see what I see when I rise, rise. I'm stronger, I'm no longer